All right, so with that, we're going to move on to agenda paper 11. And I'll hand it over to Gustavo to set us off.
So agenda paper 11 analyzes the comment letters received on the tentative agenda decision published in November 2018 on how an entity applies IFRS 9 to particular contracts to buy or sell a non-financial item. The submission described two fact patterns in which an entity accounts for such contracts as derivatives because they fail the unused scope exception in IFRS 9, but nonetheless physically settles them. The committee received 17 comment letters. 8 respondents agreed with the committee's analysis and conclusions. Nonetheless, some of these respondents expressed concerns about the scope and potential effects of the agenda decision in some circumstances. One respondent said it did not disagree with the tentative agenda decision, but expressed concerns about its effects on the energy industry. The remaining 8 respondents disagreed with the committee's analysis and conclusions. Paragraphs 18 to 55 analyze the main comments, and Appendix B analyzes all other comments. Based on our analysis, we continue to agree with the committee's conclusion that IFRS 9 neither permits nor requires an entity to make the additional entry described in the submission. However, we agree with some respondents that said IFRS 9 set out the requirements for recognizing and measuring contracts within its scope, but does not include requirements for presentation or disclosure. We think an entity is required to present gains and losses on the derivative and disclose information about those amounts, applying applicable IFRS standards, such as IS1 and IFRS 7. Similarly, we think an entity applies applicable IFRS standards to determine how to present any other revenue amounts that might arise from the contracts described in the submission and what information it must disclose. We therefore proposed amending the tentative agenda decision as indicated in Appendix B of the paper to focus on the explicit presentation and disclosure requirements related to the remeasurement of derivatives. Therefore, we recommend finalizing the agenda decision subject to the changes described in paragraph 35 of the paper and some editorial changes. Our recommendation regarding the wording in IFRIC updates has already been discussed. I will now ask whether you agree with this recommendation. Thank you.
Before anybody speaks, if I could make a special request to speak up so Liz can hear on the phone, because apparently we're a bit faint. Okay, so who would like to comment? Okay.
Yes, because I do not agree. I think we have also here an example then that we have a majority of the comments letters that have come to another conclusion than we have in the staff proposal or in the committee's proposal. And I agree with the arguments that they have there, that it's to do these postings will better reflect the performance and show better information. And then I think it may be unclear then in the decision that, if I understand correctly, when it comes to the revenue side, we say it is okay because it is not part of the presentation. As presentation is not part of the rule, so presentation-wise, you can do this reclassification or this booking between the revenue side and the other operating income, but not on the cost side. Then I suppose that the response is negative. So for me, I don't think that this is the best conclusion. I think the comment letters have a good point in their arguments.
Okay, now obviously the comment letters matter, but I do think we need to be careful because people who agree don't write so much as people who disagree. And also we need to look at the arguments and the application of the requirements, although I know a lot of people might prefer a different outcome. I think in the first instance we're trying to read the requirements. Martin?
Yeah, in the last meeting I said I do not agree to the conclusion because some of the conclusions are not really based on the accounting standards, so I said that it's quite vague. First of all, I see an improvement with regard to the revenue recognition side. We need to say, okay, we need to decouple that, so to say, in terms of presentation and disclosure. But when I read through the staff paper, for example, paragraph 38, where it is discussing IRS 2, it implicitly say that more or less there is this consideration what is within IRS 2 and what not. And again, I mean, if we say IFRS 9 doesn't say anything about disclosure and presentation for that kind of, say, artificial derivatives, then also with regard to that paragraph, I have some concerns. And I tell you why. I mean, if it really would come to a non-agenda decision, then although probably paragraph 38 would not be general part of that non-agenda decision, what is going on to happen later on if people are doing research and trying to understand, well, how was it developed, then they are looking back to that paper, so to say, and then they see that interaction with IRS 2. And I still have concerns with regard to that interaction. Overall, as said, I've a mixed view on the non-agenda decision. I believe with regard to that kind of derivatives, one really needs to do some further research, specifically also to consider these issues which have been addressed by the companies who have sent the comment letters. Overall, I see an improvement in the status.
Thank you. Jim?
I agree with the staff analysis and the conclusion with one minor suggestion. Here on page 11, the paragraph 35, instead of calling it other revenue, I suggest we call it other income, because revenue is a specific word. It's defined within this paper as IFRS 9. All these revenue should point to the same definition. So if some other things like this comes out, we should use another word. So other income may avoid this other revenue being also called revenue, but not IFRS 9 revenue.
Thank you. Tony?
So I continue to agree with the staff's analysis. My sense is that, I know I've said this before, you've got to account for what you've got. And in this case, there are two things going on in the contract. There is a derivative, and there is also the physical delivery of something. And I think those two things are going on, and they have to be accounted for, the consequence of which is that there is a settlement of the derivative and something else. And the settlement of the derivative doesn't result in a gain or a loss. So that, from that perspective, I continue to agree with the analysis. I also agree that the standards don't tell you where to put the gain or loss on the derivative through to the point at which it is settled. I do have a couple of thoughts on the extra words. I think in the penultimate sentence of the extra words, it says there is no net gain or loss on the derivative caused by settlement. I just wonder if the word net may be misconstrued, because I think there is no gain or loss on settlement. Mm-hmm. It's not so much a net gain or a loss. There just isn't a gain or a loss when you settle the derivative. Mm-hmm. And I guess I'm slightly troubled by the final sentence, where it says it refers to other revenue amounts. And I'm not quite sure what the staff intend by that. And if it's saying that there's no specific guidance on where you put the revenue, or to Jim's point, the other income number, I'd be comfortable with that. If I thought it meant you could spread it around and have it on more than one line, I would be uncomfortable with it, because I think there is a second transaction that has to be accounted for, and the standards don't tell you exactly where to put it. But I think you've got to put it all in one place.
You mean the whole transaction? The whole impact at
no,
the same pace?
I think there's a result on the derivative.
Yeah, sure.
And the standards don't tell you where to put that. But there's a line item for,
okay.
Let's say there's a line item for gains and losses on derivatives.
Okay.
Then there will be something else happening when you physically deliver.
Okay.
And I don't think you can separate that into different pieces. Yeah. I think that has to go on one line.
Do you think that needs to be on a single line?
Do you think that's explicit somewhere, though, Tony, or is that your what you think is good accounting or good presentation?
Maybe it is my view, but I struggle with the idea that a single entry gets separated out in on the different line items.
Because I guess what, having been involved in some of the thinking behind this new paragraph, I think what we were trying to do in response to some of the feedback that we got. I think the feedback we got said a few different things, but one of the points which I was empathetic to was, in a similar way, I think Reinhardt was the one that used this analogy to, if you think back to that question that we had about the separate line item that you're required to present in IAS 1, which mm-hmm. is a pure interest revenue line item that can only come from things that are measured at amortized cost or fair value through OCI, and we opined on what was explicitly required, and we sort of stayed quiet on the bit where there wasn't an explicit requirement to allow people to apply their standards in the usual way and not to specify beyond where we could be explicit. I think what we've tried to do here is to be quite forensic, and I think they really, Gustavo and Liz have really truly been forensic in terms of going through the standards and seeing what the specific presentation and disclosure requirements are and just sticking to those and sort of saying everything else isn't specified. And I'm just not sure if we start to imply that it has to be on a single line item that we're not overstepping.
And I probably wasn't suggesting it was. I just felt that final sentence, to me at least, seemed extremely broad.
Okay. So you'd be happy without that final sentence?
I'd be very happy without that final sentence. Right. That would be my suggestion.
On the face of it, I don't think it's offensive. Okay, Bruce?
Thanks, Sue. I agree with the staff's confusion with regard to I had the same comments as Tony, especially if we're going to potentially move that last sentence, that would resolve. Just interesting comment. I agree with you. I don't like the idea that they would be splitting these into different the journals. I mean, I know it may not be as explicit as we think, but I still think it's intuitive in the accounting.
Okay, thank you. Goro?
Okay. I agree with the staff's analysis and the conclusion, given that the current requirements of IFRS 9 and IFRS 15. Having said I observed that there are so many, that the respondents who are against the agenda decisions, and I'm not the preparer side, but I'm still I'm a bit sympathetic that all these companies using the hedging on the commodities tend to have so many transactions on the various commodities and the various hedging instruments. And they are hedging their commodity positions, basically the macro hedging technique. But since there is no macro hedging technique that they need to follow that the current agenda decisions, but currently that there are some diversity in practice, and we are accounting this differently. Therefore, I think agenda decisions on the borrowing costs, we need some kind of remedy for the timing issue.
Yeah, I would agree that the comments on timing are important for this topic as well. Reinhardt?
I agree with staff analysis, and I think, as you indicated, so I also agree with the additional wording that the staff put in regarding the disclosure requirements to be consistent with what we said in March 2018 on a somewhat analogous issue. I wasn't troubled by the last sentence that was in that particular edition. Other than I think Jim has a good point with respect to other revenue amounts. So
But as I say, overall, I think I'm supportive.
Thank you. Paul?
Yeah, I'm also supportive of the staff's analysis and finalizing this agenda decision. I appreciate all the comment letters that came in, caused me to appreciate the practical aspects. No, this isn't going to be particularly easy to do. I understand that they may have to make some explanations for the differences between the cash they actually receive and the revenue that they're recognized. But what I can't get away from is I think the standard does require that the settlement of the derivative is part of the transaction. And if we didn't conclude that, I just think about all the other derivative settlements that this could open up for or the change in the accounting for that. So, for example, derivatives on your own equity you issued in stock compensation arrangements and reversing those gains or losses. So I think the staff's analysis is correct. The one aspect on the agenda decision I was going to raise, but I think was already been dealt with, is that last sentence on the addition, but if we're going to delete that then.
All right, thank you. Young Su?
I agree with the staff analysis and conclusion. And my opinion is the same as Reinhardt and above. The last sentence of the added part is not really necessary. So we can do it. That's all.
Bertrand?
I agree with the staff analysis. My comment will be more on the fact that I'm embarrassed a bit by the fact that a single business has commented the same way, saying that it appears that they are doing the same accounting treatment currently, so they are comparable, even though maybe it's not exactly what should be done, but I don't know, but at least they are comparable, and they have all commented on the fact that they do not agree on the analysis, and I got additional comments on the fact that IFRS 9 might be not exactly prescriptive on all these, or there might be additions to IFRS 9 to cover those specific transactions, which are neither relating to the own use COP exception, nor micro-edge accounting, let's put it that way. So something in between. Mm-hmm. It's not trading either. So I don't know, maybe not now, but reconsidering in the coming future, maybe for the PIR review or during the PIR review of IFRS 9, such types of transaction, and see whether the board can do something. Yep. Extra on top of what is currently in IFRS 9 might be maybe useful.
Okay. Andrew. Well done.
Objective achieved. I also agree with the staff analysis. I read the staff paper first, then read all the comment letters, then went back to the staff paper and still agreed with it. I also support the extra wording. I think it's very helpful to have put that in. Like others, I paused slightly at the last sentence of the new wording. I'd be quite happy to keep it, but if it's felt that it should be taken out, that's fine as well. The other point that struck me was that if I looked at the accounting that was being proposed with the additional entry, that effectively gave me synthetic accounting. And synthetic accounting is the thing that separate derivative accounting is designed not to permit. So it seemed rather odd to me that someone would say that's the appropriate thing to do within the standard, which then took me back to agreeing again with the staff.
Thank you. Tom?
Thank you. Yeah, we agree also with the technical analysis of the staff. However, we agree with what is said by a number of commentators that there were questions about the own use exception. And as suggested by Bertrand, we also would like to recommend to address issues in the PIR on this topic.
Okay. I've no problem noting it down for a PIR. Take a bit of convincing, but have a bit of problem with this. Okay, so are you happy for me to say what I've heard and then see?
Yes.
Right, so what I heard they think maybe we'll propose is that in the last paragraph we delete the word net before gain or loss, which I think makes sense, and Liz isn't screaming, so that's good. And also I think we'll propose removing the last sentence from the penultimate paragraph and vote on that basis. I'm not sure that we have to have it, and it seemed to have raised some questions. Anne?
Just can I ask about sufficient time? We had a long discussion earlier, and this is one, judging by the comment letters, where sufficient time will be important. So I'm just wondering how we're going to handle that aspect of it.
I think our plan is that we're going to make an observation about sufficient time for update overall, so we're not going to highlight it for particular issues.
So I just want to clarify.
So when we're talking to the world, we can say we don't expect them to do it tomorrow, because I know some people will need to gather different information to make these changes, from what I understand, because it is a big change for them. Okay, so with those proposed changes to the agenda decision, could I get a show of hands? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 12?
12.
12. Okay, good. Thank you. Liz, are you going to leave us now and join us again later?
That's right. I'll dial in later.
Okay. Thank you. All right. So we're running a bit ahead of time, so I suggest we keep going.
Unnamed participant has left.
Agenda paper 10. And I can see the staff are here. Okay, who am I handing over to?